passionate instigator, and dynamic problem solver. Dr. Kevin Ross Emery, the host of the Dr. Kevin Radio Show, will be taking you outside the box, behind the curtain, and identifying the load of BS we are fed every day. And now, Dr. Kevin.
Hello, 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 and welcome to the Dr. Kevin Show, where we challenge everyone and everything, and we do it right here on Ohm Times Radio, where we're changing the world one ohm at a time. I want to, as I always start every show, I like to remind people, first of all, we are a call-in show now. Before, you used to have to come to facebook.com/mydrkevin. And you can still do that. And if you do that, you'll see the write-up about today's guest. You'll see the title of his book, his brightly smiling face, and all the ways to contact him. And right underneath him, if there is a comment that you would like to share with him, myself, or the audience, then you can type it there. Or you can call in, because this is now a live call-in show. And when you call in, we put you on air, and you get to share, you know, whatever you'd like to share. Now, as I try to remind people, first of all, the call-in number is 202-570-7057. That's 202-570-7057. That said, you know, if you want to make a difference in the world, stand up, speak out, take an action, make a difference. Here's an opportunity for you to do one or all of those things. So don't let that opportunity pass you by. God knows the world needs you. So, as always, I start my show with my hot topic, what gets me hot under the collar or makes me feel warm and fuzzy. So, you know, I have one that led to another today to share with you before we get to our guest. I had this nice warm and fuzzy on Saturday night. I went to see Beauty and the Beast. I don't know how many of you out there saw Beauty and the Beast, but I went and saw it. I loved it. I love Emma Watson. I love the tale. A tale as old as time, they say. I thought it was just a fabulous movie. I thought it was well done. And of course, you know, Belle is definitely one of the more, quote unquote, feminist Disney heroines, princesses. She can take care of herself, and she can take care of her father, and at times she can take care of the beast. So that's what we like to see. Belle's an empowered lady in my book. Now, for the hot under the collar part. I get home after the late showing, lovely movie, great feeling, thinking this is just wonderful. And then I see this thing pop up on my Facebook line that says something about that the number is up to 27 heterosexual men who have caught, like it's a disease that you can catch, like a common cold, homosexuality because of the underlying subliminal messages that Disney put in that movie and puts in its songs to basically, you know, catch heterosexual men and turn them. What a load of crap. You know what? Most of the men that are afraid of being turned, we wouldn't want on our side anyways. Besides that, among other things, they'd probably flunk the IQ test. You do know that you have to have a certain IQ to be homosexual, right? You didn't know that part. Oh, yeah. Yeah, we don't let dummies in. It's a very exclusive club. You have to be beautiful, you have to be social, you have to be charming, you have to have artistic ability coming out your sequins. And if you can't pass that, and if you flunk the IQ test, then we don't let you in the club. It's a very exclusive club, and we got a little handshake going, what were you thinking? You cannot catch homosexuality. It is not subliminal messages in a Disney movie. Get a life. Find a brain cell. The one you have is lonely. I just still cannot believe that there are people that put that stuff out. And then there are people who like it and cheer it on and say, see, I had a reason. So that being said, that's my hot under the collar. Perfect hot under the collar for my tonight's guest. And I can't wait to hear what he has to say about it. Tonight's guest is Rick Miller. Rick Miller is a clinical social worker in a private practice in Boston on Cape Cod, Massachusetts. He served on the national and international faculty for the International Society of Hypnosis, the Milton Erickson Foundation of South Africa, the Brief Therapy Conference. The Brief Therapy Conference. I wonder if everything's done in less than a minute. Kind of like going to Burger King or McDonald's. The Society for Clinical and Experimental Hypnosis, the American Society of Clinical Hypnosis, the American Group Psychotherapy Association. Oh, you know what? Come to the Facebook. Read all of the things that he's done. He's been in Johannesburg. He's been in Mexico City. But I'm going to get to some other stuff. These and other essential topics related to working with gay men are addressed in his book, Curing the Perverts. Oh, no, that wasn't the name of the book. Unwrapped, Integrative Therapy with Gay Men and the Gift of Presence. And his workbook, Mindfulness Tools for Gay Men in Therapy, a Clinician's Guide for Body, Mind, and Wellness. He is also a contributing author to Four Couples, 10 Commandments for Every Aspect of Your Relationship Journey. His articles have been published in Somatic Psychotherapy and the Psychotherapy Networker. You can find out more about Rick Miller at rickmiller.biz. Rick, are you there?
I am here. My IQ is ready and waiting.
So did you go to did you pass the IQ test? Did you catch homosexuality
or what?
Well,
you tell me. Apparently, if I'm here, I passed that IQ test. I was happy to hear that.
why does this happen? I mean, I was just flabbergasted. I mean, I wouldn't let it ruin my night. I was still dancing around the house, singing, you know, theme from Beauty and the Beast. I'm proud of it, but really, why did this happen? What's the mentality that makes people say really stupid things like that?
About catching homosexuality?
Oh yeah, and that Disney movies had. Have you seen Beauty and the Beast yet?
I haven't seen it yet, but I have heard that many Disney movies have many subliminal messages. However, maybe the men that are worried about catching homosexuality already had a little bit of it inside of themselves to start.
Oh, you mean, I think thou doth protest too much?
That is true. Although I do have to say these days, there's a lot of literature about the growing evidence that sexuality is more fluid than we used to think. So maybe a few years ago or many years ago, it was believed that men were either gay or straight, period. And it was also believed that bisexuality didn't exist for men. But as time evolves and perhaps as our society is becoming more accepting of non-heterosexual sexual practices for men, it's more permissible for men to have more fluid sexual behaviors. And as a result, they're not catching it. They may just be swinging in a certain direction that may have existed all along.
Well, you know, I've always been a big fan or a big believer in the fact that, of course, I really think that there's this spectrum. There's a spectrum mm-hmm. of feminine and masculine energy. There's a spectrum
yeah.
of homosexual, heterosexual, bisexual mm-hmm. energy. And you know, there's no such thing as 100%. Anything.
Right.
Everything at the least has a shadow.
Right.
And sometimes that shadow is the size of a hoop skirt and gone with the wind.
One of the things that's always fascinating to me is some of my clients that come in that say they're 100% gay don't understand why they have a crush on a woman. They say it can't be. I'm gay. How can I have a crush on her? And sometimes having a crush on someone goes beyond the realm of sexuality, including yeah. admiration, including fascination, including intellectual stimulation between two people, et cetera, et cetera.
Well, you know, and part of that, you know, I think that part of that is that you know, we used to talk in the days of the Renaissance, you know, there was mm-hmm. courtly love. It wasn't
yeah.
always physical love. There could be courtly love. And, you know, we as a species, we thrive on being in love. And we're always in love with something, a new movie, a new book, a new restaurant, I can't tell you how many a new person. I can't tell you how many straight men I know that fall in love with the new quarterback of their favorite football team every time they get one.
And how is it that they allow themselves to do that?
Yeah, because they're not exactly going haba haba. I want to tackle him in the shower, but it's still a kind of falling in love.
Yes. Yep.
So, yeah. I keep on thinking that we're going to get over some of these more homophobic, things like this that are just signs of fear and frustration and these thoughts, but then they pop up again. Do you think we'll ever see a time when this goes the way of the dinosaur? Or are we always stuck with this?
Well, let's hope that happens. And I think it's been happening for the last several years. If you think about our society and look at the content of television shows, nowadays there are many gay men that are depicted on television. Gay men are used in advertising to reach out to other gay men. So I don't know how old you are, Dr. Kevin, but I'm 55 years old, and in my generation, there was no information out there about being gay, whereas in young children's generation these days, they have gay neighbors that are open and out. Their parents may have gay friends. They probably watch television with gay characters in them. So the acceptance and the norm of gay men living in the world is becoming much more of a regular thing. Now, that being said, in today's political landscape, there's more homophobia out there.
Well, and unfortunately, I don't think they heard that very last statement because the music's coming on and we'll be right back.
Right.
Conscious Media for Conscious Minds. Om Times. Have you ever wondered how to change your love paradigm? The secret key is finding a love partnership, not just a regular connection. How do you find these? Through conscious relationships. Ascending Hearts Dating is a dating site for people like you that believes in second chances and a different type of spiritual connection. Try Ascending Hearts for free today at ascendinghearts.com and change your love paradigm. Ascending Hearts, the premier dating community for the spiritually awake.
Looking for inspiration?
Want to be inspired?
Not sure where to go?
Find Mark and Kim every Wednesdays at 3 p.m. Eastern on Inspired Living.
Topics will elevate consciousness and range from metaphysics to the human and social experience and all things spiritual.
Welcome to an inspired community that offers support, encouragement, and new ways of thinking. You are the inspired and the inspiration.
Mother, Mother Ocean.
Hi, I'm Jimmy Buffett. West Indian manatees are one of the most unique animals on Earth, and we're still finding out so many new things about them. But manatees are endangered, and many of them are killed or injured each year because of watercraft collisions or other human activities. You can help save these gentle marine mammals. For free tips on what you can do, call Save the Manatee Club at 1-800-432-JOIN. Thank you.
Hello, 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 and welcome back to the Dr. Kevin Show, where we challenge everyone and everything here on Om Times, where we're changing the world one Om at a time. I have on with me today Rick Miller. He is the author of the book Mindfulness Tools for Gay Men in Therapy. You can find out more about Rick at rickmiller.biz. And Also, he has an Instagram, Gay Sons and Mothers. Oh, now there's a topic. Still there, Rick?
That is a topic. Yep.
That is a topic. So in this first segment of in this first segment, after our intro, I like to ask my listener, ask my guest, where would you like to take my listeners outside the box? Where would you like to stretch their comfort zone? Any topic, your choice. What would you like to share with them?
Well, you kind of got me going about gay sons and mothers. So, for example, did I make my son gay? That's the question for a mother to ask who has a gay son. Is it my fault? Did I do something wrong? Did I nourish him in a certain way that caused him to be gay? And those are not uncommon questions for mothers to experience when they found out that their son is gay. But in fact, the opposite is true. I believe that a mother's nourishment allows her son to flourish, and in a healthy situation, having that kind of reception from a mother helps him be gay and helps him be healthy as a gay guy.
So what I hear you say is that the mother has nothing to do with whether the child is gay or not, but a nurturing, loving mother can help a gay child be more accepting and loving of themselves.
Absolutely. And as I've interviewed people, what I've been finding out and learning even more is that sometimes a mother doesn't have to know that her child is gay, and sometimes she doesn't even have to approve of him being gay. If she's a good enough mother, then she allows her child to be who he is, and she nurtures those qualities in him, takes good care of him, and he develops a sense of self that allows him to be healthy in the world. So in terms of stretching comfort zone, there are many conservative families that belong to religious groups, and there are many societies and ethnic groups that think that being gay is evil. And so if you are a mother and you're part of this subculture, how do you tolerate the dichotomy of nourishing your son who happens to be gay?
Well, and I think you've hit on something that is something that's very important there. And the first thing is that before a mother does anything, or any parent does anything with a gay child, they need to get their own emotions, feelings, thoughts, philosophies, ideas in order. They need to not be reacting, period. They need to be responding.
And yet, when you think about the social systems that we're all a part of, not just mothers, but fathers, mothers, children, siblings, that frequently there's a pressure to fit in and a pressure to believe what we're taught based on the social systems that we're a part of. So what do you do if you're a part of a social system that approves or disapproves of something? And you say, as a parent, that you want your child to be X and you expect them to live Y, when in fact sometimes a child has his own personality and his own destiny is going to bring him where he's going to go. So sometimes parents find themselves feeling a little bit helpless or hopeless about being able to direct their child.
Well, and you know, there's a misnomer out there, which is that, you know, that if a child's gay, or if the child is anything that's socially unacceptable, that it's all about the parents. I mean, the parents can influence some things, obviously. If you don't teach your child manners, then they're not going to have good manners. But, you know, that's a far way away from, oh, well, you know, you didn't read enough Playboy magazine, so your child turned gay.
Right. And in fact, most of the gay men that I've worked with have grown up feeling different, knowing that they're different, wishing that they didn't have to be this way, But nevertheless, something inside of them was inherent and consistent all along.
Yeah. Yeah, it's so important that if you find out that somebody that you love is gay, that the first thing that you need to do is to do your own work.
Yes.
And, you know, I'm going to see if, you know, one of the things I recommend, and I want you to share with our listeners what you would recommend, because sometimes somebody who has a gay child, sibling, parent, spouse, you know, might seek out somebody of your, you know, of your calling and your expertise to talk to.
Yeah.
Because, you know, this is an area that you work in. But, you know, the first, it's like, even if it hits you between the eyes, just say, I know that was difficult. Thank you for telling me. And don't say anything else. Just shut up. So that's what I tell people. What do you tell people? Go ahead.
I love that answer. In the best of circumstances, that is what gay kids or gay adults hear from others, which is, I love you no matter what. Sometimes it's hard for people to get there, and sometimes it's hard for people to say it. And there are a lot of resources out there, and that's a great thing. So the world is changing, and as the world is changing, there's more resources for parents, for friends, for family members of gays and lesbians. And one amazing organization is called PFLAG, P-F-L-A-G. There are online meetings, there are local meetings in many communities. Of course, there are psychotherapists that are gay and lesbian friendly. You can Google them, you can look them up on Psychology Today. It's so reassuring to be able to speak to other people that have either been there before or have worked with other people who have been there before. Because sometimes we need to know we're not alone. It's not just me. We don't have to reinvent the wheel here.
So I have a question, which it's okay if you choose not to answer. But since you brought the subject up, what did your mother first say when you told her you were gay?
Well, funny you should mention that, because I was going to talk about her. Her first statement was, oh, is that all? And I thought, I'm good. And looking back at the history of our relationship, she nurtured me. She allowed me to be my own self. She didn't force me to do sports. She allowed me to be interested in clothing and fashion. And she even used my special talents to help her get dressed. Every Saturday night, I would pick out outfits and let her know what was more flattering. So ironically, when I came out and she had that reaction, it was great. And then for a very short period of time, she wasn't so great. And it was a hard struggle for me. And then within a few weeks, she came around and was supporting me and supporting my lifestyle. So I feel lucky. And many people that I know that have gotten to know her really admire her, because I grew up in the 60s and she had no role model about parenting. And as I'm interviewing other gay sons, they're saying the same thing about their mothers too, that our mothers didn't talk about what to do if they have a gay child. So the mothers that were able to nourish their children had something innate inside of them about being a good mom. And I was lucky enough to have one of those people. So on my Instagram page, Gay Sons and Mothers, there are various images of me and my mother over the years.
Yeah. It's so funny. I don't actually remember what my mother said when I told her. I know that she was. I officially told her when I was 19. And it was an emotional thing. A lot of stuff was going wrong in my life, and try to comfort me in some way. And I was just like, I just can't do this. And the funny thing is I never completely thought of myself so much in the closet. I just knew bringing a boyfriend home was not going to go over well. So I just didn't bother.
There you go. Right.
You know, it wasn't, you know, that was type of thing. The thing I remember most was that when I told my mother that when I was 27, that I had been sexually abused as a child, that her first response was, "Oh, thank God, it's not my fault you're gay."
Well, let me clarify a couple things for listeners out there, and hopefully you already know this, Dr. Kevin, that you were not sexually abused because you were gay, nor was being sexually abused the cause of your being gay. They're separate issues.
Oh, yeah. But thank you for pointing that out. I kind of knew that one, but some of the listeners may not, you know, and I think the best way I ever heard her put was when she said, if being sexually abused made you gay, then, you know, according to statistics, over 50% of women would be lesbians by now.
Well, there you go. Or imagine the straight boys that are sexually abused and how it feels if they were abused by men, if they're not gay.
Yeah. Yeah. And so, yeah, so it's very, very interesting. But what that statement told me was that was like almost probably close to 10 years later. I'm trying to remember. I was 18 or 19 when I told her, and I know that I was 27 when I kind of confronted her, so to speak, or talked to her about being sexually abused as a child. And it was a male perpetrator. And, you know, and that for almost a decade, she had internally held on to the fact of what you were saying at the beginning. What did I do wrong?
That it was her
fault.
Yeah.
Yeah. And, you know, in that moment, I can't say that I felt bad for her. I think I was probably a bit irritated by the response.
Probably. Most kids would feel that way.
Yeah. And we'll be right back with Rick Miller.
Real Conscious Connection, OM Times Radio, IOM FM. The number one reason girls drop out of school in sub-Saharan Africa is lack of access to feminine hygiene products. The Pads for School Girls Project, an outreach of Humanity Healing International, is changing this paradigm by setting up sewing programs at schools, teaching girls a vocational skill, while producing the reusable pads that help keep them attending classes. The girls pay it forward by making and giving pad kits to other girls in need. To learn more, visit humanityhealing.org. Humanity Healing is where your heart is.
Have you been searching for a perspective beyond the mainstream? Check it out. Join your hosts, Yelito Pascual and Diana Gold-Holland, on Share International Radio for thought-provoking views behind the news. Sundays at 1 p.m. Pacific, 4 p.m. Eastern, on OM Times Radio. You can also find us at shareontheairradio.org. This may be the message of hope you've been waiting for.
This is why you work so hard to pay the mortgage. Because home is more than four walls and a roof. It's that porch swing and a summer evening. It's everybody over for Sunday dinner and your family sleeping in their own beds at night. Making home affordable is a free government resource that can make paying the mortgage easier. Call 888-995-HOPE or visit makinghomeaffordable.gov.
Good night, Mama.
This is why. Brought to you by the U.S. Treasury, HUD, and the Ad Council.
Hello, 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 and welcome back to the Dr. Kevin Show here on OM Times, where we're changing the world one OM at a time. Today's guest is Rick Miller. Rick has a book out on how to be mindful for gay men during therapy. He specializes in helping gay men be in the world and be, you know, I don't want to say out and proud. That sounds a little hackneyed. How would you describe it? How would you describe your work before we go deeply into the next segment?
Okay, so I would describe my work as, how about being happy on the inside and out and proud based on being gay, but just based on being content with who you are as a person.
I kind of like that.
Good.
How about just being out and proud, period? Like, whoever you are, just be proud of it.
I totally like that. I'm with you for that.
Okay. So this is the segment of the show I call Behind the Curtain. Before the guests can proceed to tell us where they want to take my listeners outside behind the curtain, they have to pass the test. You ready?
It just broke up for a moment, so I lost my head.
I said they have to pass the test. So are you ready?
Ah. Ready.
You're ready. Here is the test. The test is, what movie did this come from? Ignore the man behind the curtain.
Am I supposed to answer that?
Yeah, that quiz is for you.
Oh, I flunked that quiz. The Wizard of Oz.
I was going to say, you can't possibly flunk that quiz. So, the reason for the quiz is, that's the moment when the dog, I always love the fact it's the dog, exposes that the great and powerful Oz was just a shuckster with no sense of direction who blew in from Kansas.
Yes.
We have a lot of things today where people are trying to make us think black is white, where they're trying to hide the truth, where we have to look behind the curtain and all of the flame and the roar to see what the true story is. Mm-hmm. What true story would you like to share with my listeners that would change their life if they were to come to understand just how true it is?
Okay, so the true story that I'd like to focus on is men's sexuality. And what I mean by that is that the difference between men and women and their sexuality versus the difference between men's sexuality is such that straight men might wish that they had the freedom that gay men have around their own sexuality. And looking at a lot of the couples in today's world that come to therapy or have relationship problems or marital problems, men and women are really different from each other. Their needs are different. Their modes of communication is different. Their sexual expression is different. Their experience of vulnerability is different. And so frequently I'm really interested in the fact that more straight men or non-gay men might wish that they had the freedom that gay men have, both around maleness and also sexuality.
Interesting. So you think that there's a little underlying, the grass is always greener on the other side of the fence?
As long as homophobia doesn't get in the way, absolutely. One of my straight friends comments how lucky I am when I go to the gym that I get to see naked men in the locker room, because he doesn't get to see naked women in the locker room. But so that's a lighter side of things. But on a deeper side of things, men's needs are more understood by other men than they are by women. And so a lot of work that heterosexuals do in couples therapy or sex therapy involves dealing with these differences. So, you know, if you are not a gay man, it doesn't mean you're going to easily, quickly become a gay man, except for those 27 men who caught homosexuality in the earlier segment. And some of the challenges around being intimate and sexual are very much gender related. So this poses an interesting twist for heterosexual men. But the other interesting twist is that gay men frequently don't feel as though they're real men inside, when in fact they're as much of a man as any other man. Even if they don't recognize it, they were raised as men, they were taught to communicate to think and to express themselves as a male.
Well, and, you know, the bottom line is, you know, because, I mean, I come from a parallel but different perspective, you know, because I've had a spiritual coaching and counseling practice for 27 years. And, yeah. You know, the bottom line is, and I think this is a marvelous topic, is intimacy is intimacy is intimacy. And, you know, and intimacy issues are intimacy issues. And if you have intimacy issues, whatever is or is not hanging between your legs does not make a difference.
Okay. I get it. So there is, of course, intimacy issues. There is sexual issues. There's communication issues. There are listening issues. There are so many facets to this.
Yeah. But I always kind of look at it, and I know I lumped everything, and I didn't mean to be cavalier about it, but, you know,
no, it's great.
Having relationship, I mean, to have a relationship is work.
Oh, it's a lot of work, and it's not easy.
It's a lot of work. And you know, there's been this double-edged sword that gay men, I have seen this in my years, or what I believe to be, that, you know, gay men are, on one hand, lesser men and more animalistic because they have this free and easy, you know, anonymous sex, which is part of what you were talking about, that straight men are like, oh, well, you know, I can't go get lucky in the gym showers, you know, and all of that. Almost junior high school type of energy. But you can be just as promiscuous as a straight man as you can as a gay man if you choose to. There's always opportunity out there.
There's always opportunity for anyone. I think the difference is the gay male community is sexually free in a certain way that allows men to act on these feelings if they choose to. And
well,
I'm not saying that's always a healthy thing or a good thing.
No, and sometimes, you know, I believe that you are almost pressured that you're letting down, you're going to have to turn in your gay card if you aren't that way.
Very good point, Dr. Kevin, because I see a lot of men that come into my practice that feel really deficient if they don't live the stereotype of what they believe a gay man is supposed to be. And not only do they feel deficient, they experience shame and self-consciousness, and frequently they don't even tell anyone because they're embarrassed, as if there's only one way to be gay and only one way to be sexual as a gay man.
Yeah. You know, there's just no easy way out. Either, you know, if you're going to romp through roses and champagne and love songs, or you're going to romp through bedrooms, they all have their pros and their cons. And there's nobody's ego that's above being dented. And we all have pressures that are put upon us until we choose to give them back.
Yeah.
But that's a process.
And also,
that doesn't just
as we were
a decision. Go ahead.
And as we were discussing earlier, the best happiness comes from knowing who we are, knowing what we want, knowing what works for us, and sticking to that. And whether it's a family member or a gay person himself, the most important piece here is being okay. Am I okay with who I am? Am I okay with what I believe? Am I okay with what works for me? And am I okay letting the world know that?
Yeah. And, you know, the pressures, you know, and I've seen it. And this is a very interesting conversation, and we've got about 3 minutes before the next break.
Okay.
But I've oftentimes said that, you know, because gay people for so many decades were forced to be ashamed or keep it in secret or, you know, or have to live a double life if you wanted to keep your job or your place in the community or your love of your family. That wasn't, you and I both know, that wasn't an in-your-head thing. For many people, that was a reality.
Right.
It wasn't a made-up
fear. That's absolutely true. Yeah.
But it almost like it kept the gay, especially the gay men's community, stuck in a kind of adolescent stage. And as that push out from the time of Stonewall on, and it didn't move fast at all at the first 10 or 15 years, but as it started to pick up steam and you had more people coming out and more people demanding and more things happening, and there was this push, finally the gay men's community could finish its journey into adulthood as a community, because it's hard. I mean, so I've thought this for a while. I've had these discussions with other people. What do you think? I mean, how do you feel about all of that?
I think two things. One is that the world is evolving and changing, and it's making it easier for gay men to be the men that they want to be. And I also think that back in the 80s, the HIV epidemic caused gay men to rally with each other and to work at acceptance for the sake of survival. And I think that was a very important time in gay history for people to become a more close community.
Okay. Why do you think it took? Oh, and there's the music, and we'll be right back. I'm on the line with Rick Miller.
Feed your soul with Waves of Consciousness on OM Times Radio. Host your show on IOM FM, the radio network of OM Times Media, one of the more recognized brand names in the conscious community, and is backed by the extensive marketing reach of OM Times. Hosting a show on IOM FM immediately connects you with our extensive, dedicated community.
Eros Evolution is where sexuality and spirituality meets. Join me, clinical sexologist Martha Tara Lee, on Eros Evolution on Thursdays, 4 p.m. Eastern on OM Times Radio.
Every 2 minutes, an American is sexually assaulted. The majority of victims know their attacker. It could be your friend, your neighbor, or someone you met at a party. If you said no, it's rape, and it's a crime. This is Christina Ricci with RAIN. Call the National Sexual Assault Hotline today at 1-800-656-HOPE. Or visit rain.org. That's RAINN.ORG.
Brought to you by RAIN and this station.
Hello, 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 and welcome back to the last section of the Dr. Kevin Show this week. The one we call What a Load of Crap. And I can't wait to hear what our tonight's guest, Mr. Rick Miller, has for us that he thinks is a load of crap that he would like to share with the world. And it can be any load of crap that you want. Rick is the author of Mindfulness Tools for Gay Men in Therapy. You can find out more about Rick Miller at rickmiller.biz. He's just a whole ton of stuff. Hypnosis and social worker and gadabout through Europe and Africa, and I don't know, he's a bon vivant. So anyways, but you can find out more about Rick Miller at rickmiller.biz, Facebook Rick Miller Psychotherapy, He's got a blog on Psychology Today, Unwrapped Mind Body Wisdom. And his Instagram is Gay Sons and Mothers, which I'm definitely going to loop into. So, good. Rick, what load of crap picture. Do you want to share with my listening audience tonight?
Okay, here's the load of crap. All gay men are muscular, ripped, stylish, and rich. That's the load of crap. And that load of crap, unfortunately, is dominating the lives of many gay men who feel ashamed because they are not living up to that stereotype. And the digital world has allowed this image, this load of crap image, to become bigger and bigger than it's ever been before. And the number of people that feel deficient as a result is staggering. And as a psychotherapist, I can tell you I get people coming into my office all the time who feel horrible about themselves based on what they look like or what they don't look like and have unrealistic expectations about what they ought to look like, how they ought to live, what their talents should be, who their friends should be, et cetera, et cetera.
You mean we're not all rich and talented and ripped and have fabulous taste? We're not? Oh, Rick, you hurt my feelings. I'm going to cry now in the corner. Excuse me.
Somehow that ends up dictating a lot of people's lives. And I live and work in a resort town, Provincetown, Massachusetts. And there are thousands of people walking down the street each day. And if you look carefully, there are all kinds of people, all ethnic groups, all races, all weights. And yet the people that stand out the most are the perfect-looking gay men that result in the load of crap not being believed. So many people say, I've never seen so many gorgeous men in my life except walking down Commercial Street in Provincetown, or people, after spending a week in Provincetown, come to psychotherapy feeling depressed because they don't feel like they made it in the right way as a gay man.
Yep. And, well, and, you know, I came out, I mean, I started going to the gay bars when I was 14.
Wow, you were young.
I was, and at 14 in the combat zone of Boston, you know, I mean, all my drinks were bought for me, and I was always welcome because I drew in customers. Because, you know, I'm not saying that I was drop dead gorgeous, but when you're sitting around with a fair amount of men in their 50s and 60s, 14 looks pretty good to most of them, even if they're saying no. Still look good.
Maybe you thought they were in their 50s or 60s. They may have been in their 30s or 40s. Who knows? But
they may have been in their 20s and just rode hard and put away right. Wet one too many times.
But looking back at that point in time, Dr. Kevin, you know, what do you see now from the adult perspective?
Well, you know, one of the things, I mean, and one of the, I was actually going to share a little bit of a story with you, which was first of all, I had a real dichotomy because I had self-worth and self-esteem issues, and one minute I'd lap it up, but the next minute I would not believe it, and, you know, sometimes I would be very self-deprecating, and, you know, and it caused more problems than it resolved being the person who was expected to be perfect. And, of course, you know, I'm going to go into a stereotype here, but, I mean, my thing was, you know, there was nothing meaner than if you'll pardon the term, a bitchy queen, because you wouldn't give them the time of day, even if they were old enough to be your grandfather. you know, I mean, let's just call a spade a spade. You know, I went there because I wanted to have the freedom to be able to be who I was. And high school was not being kind to me. And the bars were, for the most part.
Lucky for you that you found a place to go. And nowadays there are less and less bars and more people are going online. And let's face it, there's something about meeting people in person that is a whole lot more satisfying and healthy. But I think you also got at an interesting point a few moments back, which is that you also, and this is normal, this is what we all feel, regardless of what you look like on the outside or regardless of how well you do on the outside, there's always a part on the inside that doesn't feel secure, that worries about, am I good enough? Am I good looking enough? Will I be accepted? What happens if they find out about who I really am? Am I okay? And so no matter how good anyone looks on the outside, these pieces still exist on the inside. And so the gay community that is very oriented towards appearance feels even more pain as a result of the external pressure.
Well, I remember seriously, and this is a very sad statement, but, I remember that seriously when I, you know, the old, what birthday did you feel old on? You know, like what was the birthday you wanted to lie about your age or all of that stuff?
Yeah.
I remember feeling depressed and desperate when I turned 21 because I was too old then.
Really? Wow.
Really, seriously.
Too old
I went
for
out
what?
On that birthday and was like, I need to find somebody to settle down with because now who's going to want me now? I'm old.
I'm 21. Life is over. Well, you wouldn't give
That's
to be
it.
21. And in the gay community, 40 is considered old and 50 is over the hill. And so when I see men who are aging well and are at a great place in their life, it's so sad that they don't recognize that because they're using external measures to fit in. And, you know, maybe back in your day you had a little power going on from being young and the attention that you got, and maybe it took care of something within yourself, but I don't know how old you are now, but I can imagine you must really feel over the hill.
Well, it's really interesting because I didn't feel old at 30, and at 40 I had a birthday party that I had signs all over the place that says, I'm not over the hill, I own the hill.
Yay.
40 never looks so good. I mean, but I also had a
better.
Father. Yeah, well, I also had a father who spent 20 years hanging out in the gay community with me. There were times when he was getting hit on more than I was. He was a very attractive older man. And so I think that helped actually. I mean, it's always really sad the first time that somebody would rather talk to your father than you at a gay bar. But, you know, outside of that.
Yeah, that's a problem. That is not a problem that every gay man wants to have. But I would say that you were pretty lucky to have an open father that would go with you and go to the places that you went and experience the nuances of your world.
And so, you know, so it did shift and change it, but it's very sad. I mean, I'm going to be 57 this year. So you and I are about the same generation. I'm what, 2 years older than you?
Yeah, 2 years older, which is not much. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. I was born in 1960.
Maybe 1 year.
Yeah. Depends on when the birthday hits.
Right.
But I do think that there's a parallel with gay men and women that somehow
absolutely.
Straight men get to let themselves go to hell in a handbasket, look like crap, but are still desirable because they're the straight man.
Well,
or
I
they're
think
the daddy.
Two of the things you're alluding to is the power that money can buy. So straight men that are successful can provide a lot, and women and gay men might enjoy those benefits. I think the other thing that's interesting that you're alluding to is that gay men and women are appealing to the same group. They're appealing to other men. So they are internalizing their own visions of what sexy is to please other men.
Yeah, and there was this great book that I read. I think it was called Dynamic Duo by Keith. Can't think of who, but it talked about the whole alpha, 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 beta, beta, alpha, beta, beta type within the gay world and the gay community. And that book actually made a lot of sense to me, that, you know, we go back to our earlier conversation. Everybody's on a spectrum line.
Yes.
And you don't have to be effeminate to be gay. And
that's right.
There are some very masculine men that are gay, and there are some very effeminate men that are heterosexual, well, primarily in both
and
cases.
Also,
go ahead.
Ideally, we all have our masculine sides and our feminine sides. And people are constricted when they don't allow themselves to have each. But if you think about it, the healthiest people, their feminine side, quote unquote, are the part of them that is expressive, the part of them that's tender and sensitive, the part of them that may enjoy certain activities in life that's relational or even aesthetic. And the masculine side would be strength and adversity and being able to tolerate difficult challenges and still holding up. So ideally, we want all of these things for each of us, not just one or the other.
I love this, and I know it was done with Barbies, and it was all of these like semi-macho men that were playing with their little girls, who their little girls were insisting that they play Barbie with them, and they did. And I was like, now that is great. Thank you, Rick Miller. That's rickmiller.biz. Thank you, Rick, for coming on the show.
Thank you.